Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I want to speak to us about something very important today. And I believe that what we speak about today, that if we're able to master this area of our lives, then this area will have an influence on our ministry, on our relationships. It will have an influence in our workplace, wherever it may be. I can't understate that the subject that we're going to speak about today is something that can make a difference in each and every one of our lives. But I'm going to mention what that is in a minute. But first, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. The Apostle Paul says this: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." As you take your seats, turn to your neighbor and say, "I am not finished." Amen. You can take your seats. We continue with this theme of transformation. And if you're around church long enough and you're around Christians long enough, for certain things that you will hear spoke about that revolve around the key to living a life of purpose and destiny. You hear about the importance of having vision. You hear about the importance of having faith, about being people that love and give. And there's many different subjects we hear about that are key to living the life that God wants us to live. But there's an area today that we're going to speak about that we all have authority over. There's an area today that we're going to speak about that when we master this area of our lives, not only do we become a people that fulfill God's purpose for our lives, but we actually enjoy the journey too. How many people want to enjoy the journey to what God's called you to be? You see, this transformation series, I know for me personally, I've been hearing people say, has been something that is really impacting their lives. And just personally, a couple of weeks ago, our pastor, Pastor Paul, spoke a message which has stuck with me ever since. He spoke about transforming your with. And what he spoke about, or at least what I remember him speaking about, was moving from performance to partnership. Was about not becoming a people that are trying to perform for God and perform for people, but partnering with God in fulfilling his mission and his purpose. How many know we live in a generation where it's all about performance? You get performance reviews in your workplace. You have X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing and all these different things. And so we can begin to think that our relationship with God is based on performance. That if we don't do what it is that we think he wants us to do, we think he's not proud of us. We think he's not pleased with us. And a quote that I heard one time from a gentleman by the name of St. Augustine, a church father from many, many years ago, he said this: "Without God, you can't. But without you, God won't." Well, I say that again. Without God, you can't. But without you, God won't. That when God wants to tackle injustice, when God wants to bring change in our city and our nation, it's not just sitting back and praying, but it's rising to our feet, stepping into those communities, stepping into the prisons and the schools and the communities, and partnering with God in seeing his will and his purpose fulfilled in our lives and our city. You see, what I want to speak about today is transforming your response. I want to talk about transforming your reactions. You see, many times we think that it's the seasons of our life that have the final say. But it's not the seasons of our life that have the final say, but it's how we respond to those seasons. It's how we respond to different areas of our life that determine whether or not we're going to become the people that God has called us to be. We have full authority in how we respond to situations. But how many know it's not easy to respond the right way? Or maybe that's just me. But when we go through difficult situations, our responses are not always what we know they should be. I used the example this morning of my family, that I am, in my marriage, I'm the emotional one, if you would say. I'm the one that speaks and then thinks after. How many people are like that? You speak and then you think. You act and then you think. My wife is the rational one, I guess you would say. But when I want some wisdom, she'll think about it. And then she'll keep thinking about it. And then I'll get emotional about it. And then she'll think about it. And then finally she'll give a response. But that's because she's got a different personality. If you know my children, Brooklyn and George, they're very different. You can literally see the words in my daughter's mouth before she speaks. That you can tell her to not do it, but the words are there, so they just come out. I try and challenge her sometimes. Last week, we got a taxi to church. And so I challenged her. I said, we're going to go the whole taxi ride, which is 7 minutes. We're going to go the whole taxi ride, and you're not going to ask a cab driver one question. And I could look back at her, and she's just standing there like, the words are ready to come out of her mouth. And then finally, as I got out of the car to let her out, she said it. She turned to the taxi driver, are you a Christian? And he was like, no, I'm a Muslim. And she's like, you serve a different God. No. And she's like, but you know, when someone's got that impulse, sometimes it's hard to contain it. But yet God wants us to have the right response to our situations. Whether we interpret things by our emotions or whether we like to sit back and think, the bottom line is we need to have spiritual responses and spiritual reactions. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a season for everything. Seasons come and seasons go. Jobs come and jobs go. People can come. And how many of us know people can go? Opinions come and opinions go. But the one thing that has to stay consistent is how we respond to those seasons, how we respond to those situations. You see, and when we look at this scripture that the Apostle Paul spoke, he paints two images. He paints an image of the greatness and the goodness and the glory of God. That God is faithful, that God is true. And he speaks about how God's goodness and God's greatness and God's majesty has been poured out into what he describes as jars of clay. And those jars of clay represent you and I today. That sometimes they can be fragile. Sometimes they can get missed. Sometimes they can get broken easily. But yet the Apostle Paul says God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That God has chosen the things that may seem insignificant to make a difference in our generation. You can be successful and feel insignificant. You can be not successful and feel insignificant. But God says he's chosen these vessels to carry his presence, his glory, his power. And you see, the thing about it is when God's presence and God's spirit fills your life, no longer is it the value of a vessel dependent on what it was before, but it's based on what has been poured into it. I heard an analogy one time about a pizza box. I wanted to bring a pizza box. I was going to order a pizza last night, but I thought it's not, 15 quid is not worth the analogy. And so, even though it would have been a good excuse to eat a pizza. But you know, this preacher, he used an example about a pizza, and he said, imagine you ordered a pizza, whatever your favorite pizza is, as long as it doesn't have vegetables or pineapples on it, because that's not right. But a meat feast, stuffed crust, barbecue base, pizza, right? No pineapples, they don't work. Pineapples are not meant to be on pizza. That's to the enemy. Vegetables are not meant to be on pizza. Meat. That's why they made pizza, for meat. How many people can say amen? But imagine you ordered your pizza and then the delivery person turns up at your door and you open the door and they ain't got no box, they just got the pizza in their hand. And the cheese is dripping off, the meat's falling on the floor. Would you take the pizza? Why? Because it's not in the vessel. You see, the value of the box is dependent on what has been put in it. And it's the same thing with us. Our value is not dependent on what's happened to us. Our value is not dependent on what people have said about us. Our value is dependent on what God has chosen you and called you and separated you for a purpose. So the next time someone wants to try and define your value, know that your value is defined by the God who has chosen you, the God who has called you, and the God who is going to take you into your destiny. You see, God says that he chose us, that sometimes in our weakness, sometimes in our brokenness, sometimes in the places where we can't do it, but God can, because he wants to get the glory. So he is able to get the glory. Zechariah 4:6 says this. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. How many people of us in here today, you've tried to do things off your own strength? You've tried to do things in your own way. And effort is important. Work ethic is something that is good. But how many know we all reach a point in our life where sometimes it's only God that can change that situation? It's only God that can bring about the victory. But you see, if we want God's Spirit to do something, there's a responsibility on us. And that's that we need to make spiritual choices. You can't say that God's going to do it by His Spirit if you're making decisions based on your flesh. But it has to be God's Spirit, but that takes making spiritual choices. Because when you make spiritual choices, you position yourself for spiritual breakthroughs. You see, that's how God wants to work it in our lives, so that He gets the glory. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 46, Jesus said this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" Have you ever wondered, and have you ever heard it said, why do good things happen to bad people? Or why do bad things happen to good people? But the reality of life is that good and bad happen to all of us. But we go through times of success and prosperity, and we go through times of doubt and worry. But good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. You see, the thing is this, and the truth is this, is that it's not what we go through that separates us as Christians. It's how we respond to what we go through. You see, we will face what other people face. Sickness can hit us all. Fear can hit us all. Success can hit us all. Depression can hit us all. But it's how we respond to what we go through. You see, each of us has a list, right? We all have a list of why we're a good person. We all have a list of why we should be getting blessed or why we should be getting the things we pray for. That we can look at our lives and say, well, these are the reasons why I shouldn't have gone through what I've gone through. You know, when God called Gideon and God revealed Himself to Gideon, Gideon's first response, well, where have you been, God, when my people suffered? And sometimes that's the first question we ask God when He calls us or when He speaks to us is why? Why did this happen? Why did I go through that? But yet we have to understand that in the seasons of life, good and bad happens. But when you take authority of your response and your reaction to those seasons, God has the final say. The season doesn't have to have a final say. Opinions don't have to have a final say. But your response is the key to your victory. Your response is the key to your destiny. Your response is the key to what it is that God wants to do in your life. And the Apostle Paul understood that. That's why he said, I might be afflicted. I might be crushed. But I'm still standing here. I'm still praising. I'm still worshiping. So though things may have come against me, I'm responding by what God is doing in me and what God is bringing me towards, rather than the season that I face. You see, good and bad comes to all of us. In 19 years, it's not every day that I've woke up on a Sunday, put on my suit and skipped to church and wanted to lift my hands. It's not every day that I've woke up feeling like everything's perfect, but yet it's the response that brings you to your victory. It's the response that releases authority. It's the response that releases your destiny. It's not the season. You can't define yourself by the moment and the season. It's how you respond to those things. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How we respond to these things. You see, people's actions may hurt you, but your response can heal you. Seasons may knock you down, but your response can pick you back up. People may cause you offense, but your response will bring forgiveness. A season may break you, but your response can make you. It's how we handle the seasons of life. It's our attitude and our response to whether we truly believe that God is good, to whether we truly believe that God is able. You see, I believe there's some of us in here today that have been hurt, that have been knocked down, that have been come against, but yet it's your response that is going to have the final say. How many people believe that this morning? But it's your response. There is more power in your reaction than there is in anyone else's action. The authority is with you and I. You see, that's why we can't take responsibility for other people's responses. How many know sometimes if people respond to us a certain way, it messes our head up? How many people are like that? You start to interpret everything, how someone's responded. But we can't be responsible for how people respond. Our responsibility is to give out what God has put in. Our responsibility is to pour out what God has placed in our life. And then the responsibility is with someone else. But sometimes we try and be the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we try and play God and try and change that person for ourselves. One thing my wife taught me for the 12 years she's been praying for me, the one thing that she's taught me is that she trusts the Holy Spirit for my change. She trusts the Holy Spirit for my transformation. But me, to begin with, I would plant a seed and I would stomp the seed in. I would plant a word and then I would stomp it in because I wanted to bring the change. But we have to trust that God is able to change people. Because the truth is this, if you can change someone into something, someone else can change them back. Let me say that again. If you can change someone into something, someone else is just going to come along and change them back. But when God brings change, when the Spirit transforms somebody, it don't matter what people do. It don't matter who comes after them. It don't matter what they say. Because when God changes an individual, they stay changed. They stay transformed. So don't worry if they've not changed yet. Don't worry if you've not seen their salvation yet. Don't worry if the season's not changed yet. Because when God transforms it, it will stay transformed. Let me take it another way. If you want to change the season yourself, do that. But the season will come right back round. But when God brings you through that season, when you stand under that trial, when you stand under that place and God transforms that season, believe that season's not going to come back. The scripture says the Egyptians you'll see no more. When you go through it by God's grace and in God's timing with spiritual responses, then God changes it, it stays changed. I think about Jesus. Two situations I think about with Jesus. You always have to look to him to know if your theology is right. If you can't find your theology in the life of Jesus, you got the wrong one. You see, Jesus was led to the wilderness. And it says that the enemy came and tempted him. The enemy came and tested him and tried to get him to respond a certain way. But it says that Jesus responded through the word of God. Jesus had the right response. And then I love it because it goes on to say that the devil left and waited to come back at an opportune time. But you see, he never came back because there was no opportune time. Because the only authority the enemy has is based on how we react to situations, based how we handle circumstances. And so when we respond right, then the authority is left with us to live the lives that God has called us to live. I even think about Jesus and Judas. You see, Judas betrayed Jesus. But yet there's a scene where Jesus kneels down and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And you know, he would have been well within his rights to leave Judas out, right? He would have been well within his rights to just give his foot a slap and tell him to get out. But yet he stooped down and he washed Judas's feet. Why? Because Jesus knew who he was and he knew where he was going. So just because he had someone that didn't want his success, he didn't focus on him, he treated them the same. You see, we're all going to come across times and seasons and people that don't want our success. But how we respond to those people is key to our future. I said it one time a while back and I'll say it again. Anyone can say thank you, Jesus. But someone who's mature can say thank you, Judas. Because when they've come against you, you're still standing. When they come against you, they're still moving forward. See, Judas, inadvertently, he sent Jesus to the cross. You see, it was Judas's opposition that actually became the key for victory. And so many times you've got to be able to stand and say, you know what, thank you, Jesus, yeah. But I thank you for the seasons that have opposed me. I thank you for the seasons that have seemed to be crushed. I thank you for the seasons where people have come against me. I thank you when I felt abandoned. I thank you when I felt perplexed. I thank you when I felt crushed. Because it's those seasons that have made me the person that I am today. You see, I said it this morning, I'll say it again. If you want everything to be good, you'll never have the character of Christ. But if you see everything as bad, you'll never have the mind of Christ. You see, there's good and bad in all of our lives. My question today is not what you're going through, it's how are you responding to what you're going through? It rains on the just and the unjust. And our response to God is so important. How do we respond to the reality that God is calling us and God wants to do a great thing through our lives? That's what this scripture tells us. That the potential and the power in our lives is not based on the vessel, but based on what God has put in. You see, Paul painted a picture that God is going to take us through moments and times in our life where people are going to look upon us and see that it could only have been God that brought us through. How many of you find yourself in a place today where you know it's only going to be God that brings you through? It's only going to be God that makes you stand. You see, people are going to look and see the season you have come through, and they're going to know it could only be of God, because that season should have knocked you down and kept you down. That season should have knocked you out for the count, but yet you're still here today. You're still praising. You're still believing. You're still moving towards your destiny. You see, you can let your season define you, or you can let your response define you. See, people are going to look and see the change that has taken place in your life and know it could only be God. Last Monday, my wife graduated university. A professional vocal musicianship. So she's now a professional singing teacher. And she studied. And the thing is that on that day, many people got called up to take their certificate. And to many, she was just another name. But to me, I'd seen that journey. And I remember that journey when it began. The last time my wife studied in any type of education was when she was 15 years old, 25 years ago. And yet the one area that she believed that she wasn't able, it was God's glory and God's strength and God's grace that took her to that stage 6 days ago, able to graduate. 25 years without education. And yet she always thought that she wasn't able, but yet it was the grace of God and the mercy of God. But this is the thing, it wasn't just that, it was partnered with faith and belief. And when she wanted to quit, she didn't quit. And when she wanted to give up, she didn't give up. And when she didn't want to hand in the assignment, and I didn't want her to hand in the assignment, she still did it. There was times with her husband I was going through changes, but yet she never stopped moving forward. She never stopped progressing. You see, the grace of God gives you the ability to continue to grow, to continue to move forward. You don't pick up one thing to drop another. The grace of God enables you to pick up and to continue to move forward, to continue to advance. That's why I'll never get it. When people get married, that they want to let the marriage replace their ministry, let the marriage replace their family, let the marriage replace this. It doesn't work like that. God's grace gives you the strength to continue to add to your life, because we're not just maintaining. You're not called to maintain. You're called to progress and advance, which means that God is going to take you through seasons and moments in your life where your strength is going to come to an end. And it's at that time your response, when you've exhausted all the options, when you've looked at all the opinions, when you've tried all the solutions, it's at that time your response is going to dictate your future. We have to trust that God is able. There's a quote that was read out at my wife's graduation from David Bowie, and he said this. You wouldn't think he might have a profound quote, but he kind of does. If you feel safe in the area you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. Go a little bit out of your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting. I really believe today that God is getting us to step into that deep end. But God is bringing us out of the shallow. God is bringing us out of what we're comfortable with. And it might mean that you go into a season, a time, a situation in your life where you don't feel your feet are touching the bottom. But it's at that time, it's at that moment where God's grace and God's strength begins to carry you. And God begins to move you to that place. But if we always stay in that place of comfortability, we're not going to experience the greatness that God has for our life. How do we respond when we feel out of our depth? How do we respond when we feel like people don't like us? How do we respond when we feel like everyone else gets chosen? How do we respond when what we thought we were entitled to never happens? You see, that scripture that talks about the just and the unjust. You know, the reality of that is that you can do all the right things and not get the results you want. You can do everything that you're meant to do, and yet still things don't change straight away. That's hard, right? Or is that just me? when you look at it and you've done everything you're meant to do, you've prayed, you've cried out, you've fasted for 100 days, you've done all of these things, you've done everything that you could do in your own strength, and yet still you don't see the results that you feel that you want to see. You see, that's why we can never judge things by the seasons we're in. We have to respond to God. We have to trust him. But sometimes things don't work out how we want it to work out. But yet when we respond in the right way, we allow God to have the authority in that situation. We allow God to have the final say. And I want to speak about this for a moment. I want to finish up in a few minutes. But in Galatians chapter 5, how many of us have ever been asked that question? What are you called to do? Right? What are you called to do? I hate that question because we define ourselves by what we're doing. We define ourselves by the task that we have. But you see, there's something that the Apostle Paul spoke about, which is key to why Jesus Christ did what he did, and he died for us and rose again, and he brought us into a relationship with himself. The most important thing is not what you do. He says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You see, our first and foremost calling is to be free. It's to live a life of freedom. It's to live a life where we're free from the struggles and the opinions and the doubts that have plagued us for many years, many times. God brings us into a relationship that whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances, mountaintop or valley low, whether we've got people that love us or people that don't, that the calling that we have first and foremost is to be a people that live free. Because when you live free, anything you do will be done with freedom. Anything that you're called to will be done with freedom. But you see, the thing is this, is that just because you have a title don't make you free. Just because you have money don't make you free. Just because you have a reputation don't make you free. If you can't be free off the stage, you're not going to be free on it. If you can't be free when you've got no money, you're not going to be free when you've got money. If you can't be free without people's approval, you'll never be free when they give you their approval. He set us free for freedom. It sounds like a crazy thing to say. I set you free to be free. Well, obviously. Well, yeah. You know, I called you to call you. Well, but yet, I think it's profound because how quickly we forget our freedom. And we take back on board what people think of us. Or should I say what we think they think of us? Because usually what we think they think of us is not what they think of us. It's what we think of ourselves. He set us free for freedom. You can be a pastor, don't make you free. You can be a manager, don't make you free. What makes you free is Jesus Christ. And when we respond to him, this is a key as well. I'm going to stop shouting. When you're free, you love people based on how he has loved you, not on what you want from people. You are free to serve, free to love, free to follow God because of what he has done in you, not because what you're waiting for people to do for you. Because if you're waiting for people to give back you what you think you deserve, you won't live free. But when you look at what he's done for you and done in you, you will serve with freedom. You will love with freedom. You will give with freedom because you're not waiting for someone to pat you on the back. Because if someone, you're waiting for someone to pat you on the back to feel good, as soon as their hand leaves your back, you're going to feel bad. But God wants us to be free. You can be free when you're going through certain seasons. You can be free when you're going through certain afflictions. You can be free in sickness. You can be free in doubt. You can be free in offense. You can be free in hurt. You can be free when people do these things because he has the final say when we respond according to what God has called us to. You see, many times we look at our lives, I'm just going to begin to really wrap up. Many times we look at our lives and we respond to God based on what we have, not on what he's called us to. Have you ever said this? Go, no, I have. If only I knew more, I would serve God better. If only I had more, I would serve God better. If only I'd been saved longer, I would serve God better. If only I had more support, I would serve God better. But the truth is this, is that God can use you just the way you are. Yes, he takes us through periods of change and transformation. But just like that little boy that came with his fish and his bread to feed the 5,000, God only needs a little bit in order to perform his word. And so today, the challenge that you and I have as we stand to our feet is that I believe that God is calling us to a deeper place and a further place. But it's all based on how we respond to the season we're in now. How we respond to the challenge that's been placed before us. You see, when you change your response, when we transform our response, we break patterns. We break cycles. We break those things that have had power over us. We break those things that have plagued us. Because when we respond according to God, God will have the final say. And in Deuteronomy, as I finish, chapter 30, verse 19 to 20, he says, "This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you, for I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses." And he says this, "Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." As Moses stood before the people of God, and his voice was heard, he was saying this, old, young, rich or poor, hurt or free, whatever it may be, he said that the choice is yours. The response is yours. That you may have been going through the wilderness for many years, but Moses said that if you can hear my voice, the wilderness is ending because you are going into the promised land. He said that if you can hear my voice, then there is something greater in front of you than has been behind you. But yet he makes it very clear that the key is not what you've been through. The key is not even where you find yourself now. The key is your response to what you're going through. Your response to that relationship, your response to that challenge, that calling, and your response to what it is that has plagued you for those years. As we lift our hands in this place, I want us to begin to worship him. I want us to take a couple of moments right here to worship him. We're going to do a response in a minute, but right now I really believe that God wants us to really engage with him.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.